Hello, welcome to the Wasting Time podcast. I'm here by myself today just because me and Nick have just recorded a fantastic episode, but it's a very much a long one. I'm recording this on Easter Monday, and Nick's got to attend to his little one and back to work and stuff, so I'm not going to make him sit and do another intro with me. And at the same time, we haven't released an episode for a couple of weeks, so I kind of wanted to get this out there. So it's a very quick intro. Let's just jump straight into it. So I had the pleasure of speaking to Sherry and Nick from Firstwire, which is a new platform for artists. Works a bit like a label, but it's actually more than that, which we'll get into in this interview. But they started it up with partners Mark Hoppus and Pete Wentz. So it's something that we've been interested in from day one. So we were very keen to talk to them. Here it is. Good to meet you guys, albeit digitally. Do you want to introduce yourselves quickly?
Yeah, Chris, thank you so much. It's really nice to meet you. I'm Sherry. I've worn a lot of different hats in the music industry. I mean, I started when I was 16. I started out in management, and I did that for about 8 years. Went on every Warped Tour humanly possible. And, wow. I'm really grateful for the experience I learned there and everything that I did. I was independent. I worked for different companies, but I really kind of just realized that I wasn't able to help a ton of artists doing what I did, because as a manager, you really do tap out. There's only so many hours in a day. And so right. You can only help so many artists. And I just kept, let's call a spade, the music industry tends to be a little archaic in the way that we function. And artists are often given such unfavorable terms and situations that they're put in. And I really wanted to start fixing that. I wanted to leave this industry better than I found it. And that's been my whole MO. So the first stab I took at it was starting a VIP ticketing company called Veeps. And I partnered with the Maddox on that. I started that in...
I know that was one of their things along with the MTDN. So you kind of started that with them, did you?
Yeah, I started it, and they came in as partners and investors. And, in the heart of COVID, all of our, we were doing fantastic, but of course COVID started and all of our tickets went off sale pretty much overnight. And we're like, crap, what do we do? And we pivoted to live streaming. And I'd never done a live stream before. And, our whole model was commission-free ticketing and a do-it-yourself backend, where we gave the music industry tools they needed to ticket their events, whether it was, in person or virtual. And the year that was supposed to kill us, basically, because we initially were just only in person and we moved to virtual, we did 3,000 live streams, took care of 3,000 artists, and we sold to Live Nation at a $30 million valuation. So that was my first stab at doing things differently. And I didn't want to stop there, because the pinnacle of the issues that artists fall into are the record label business models that they have to sign and agree to, which has a trickle down effect to everyone. Because then we're, as the artists' teams, we're looking for all these ancillary incomes, like the Veeps of the worlds, the Cameos of the worlds, which are amazing solutions. But they almost wouldn't even need to, be such an important part of the artist's career if the record label model was more favorable to the artist and they actually saw profits and own their work. And so that led to our current venture, myself and Nick, and our other partners in this are Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 and Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy. Mm-hmm. We created a VC for artists. And I don't like to call ourselves a label, because it's like calling an Uber a better taxi. It's not. Right. They made their own category, and so have we. We've brought back old school A&R with a Shark Tank style business model. So we invest in artists, we take equity of certain revenue streams, and then we bring in our label services team that we ourselves have either employed or crafted, custom tailored around that artist to build up their career. We've raised $12.3 million to date. Our case study, Beauty School Dropout, we signed them when they were at about 4 million streams total. After a year, we reached 60 million streams, and they've done 2 sold out headliners, and went on tour with Blink, and that was just our case study. And we just announced our partnership with Cobalt, where we announced our publishing arm. So we like to do things differently.
Nick, do you want to jump in and say a little bit about yourself?
My name is Nick Lippman. I started in the music business at 14 years old as an intern. I've been in artist management for 23 years now. Just finished an incredibly successful run with Matchbox 20. I have an entire artist management side of things. And when Sherry first approached me with the idea of Firstwire, it was such a beautiful kismet of where I wanted to go into my career, because as Sherry so succinctly put it, in artist management, especially the way in which I was trained from my father, it's so much time, energy, and attention that the ability to grow and help other bands is kind of impossible. And when I realized that I could do exactly what I wanted to do, which was help a lot more than just the bands that I had under my management company grow and expand and come into the next generation of the music industry with the same attention that these younger artists are getting, I jumped on it right away. I have a strong passion for helping artists make sure that they can reach their full potential. And it's something that we at VerseWire work very hard to do. We have an incredible team that we've assembled and continue to assemble to make sure that artists get the best opportunity. I think a lot of times now, in the both major and in the business side of it, everybody just wants to help whoever the hot artist is at the moment. And they kind of forget, or they're a product manager with 30 clients, or they're a publisher with 200 clients, or they're a small record label that signed 40 acts trying to throw it against the wall and see what sticks. And unfortunately, in all of that world, you're not giving the handholding and the attention that a lot of these artists deserve. There's a lot of artists that have probably had two, three, four records out right now who still have longevity in their career, but are being overlooked because they're not the new hot, flash in the pan thing, or their music isn't what's the most popular now, but they still have a giant fan base. They still sell records, they still sell tickets, and they don't have that same introduction to all the new players as the music business evolves so fast. And so we really took it upon ourselves to say, hey, these are incredible artists, whether it's a young band that we really want to push, like Beauty School Dropout, whether it's a band like Girlfriends, who's on their kind of second coming of their next record, or it's the bands that we're going to sign. The whole point was, how do we give these artists that we love, that we believe in, that have incredible talent, the same sort of structure and love just deep emotional connection to their music, to the audience, and introduce them to the DSPs and introduce them to the new platforms and help them move on to where marketing is, taking form so that they can succeed and achieve. And I think that was the biggest key for what we were trying to build here, as well as create artist-friendly scenarios where, from inception of joining us, they're already starting on the right foot from a financial perspective. It's now, how do we take that and make sure they make the money we want them to make by giving them all the tools they need to function in 2024 and beyond?
We had Beauty School Dropout on this show, I want to say like last May or June, around that kind of time. So they were kind of on the path then, and it's just been crazy watching how much they've kind of grown into this huge thing. And it was cool as well, because obviously I was asking about their history and I was hearing about how they got involved with you guys and their side of the story. So it's nice to kind of
Aww.
hear it from the other side now, you know?
Those are babies.
Well, I think it's a testament to everything we look for in the artists that we bring to our situation is hardworking individuals, people who want it, people who want it for the right reasons, people who are willing to get their hands dirty, because the name of the game for artists in 2024 is not go to the studio, make a video, make a record, sit back and watch everyone else do the work. This is a very much hand-in-hand partnership, and the Sherry and my ability to make the deals that we make are based on the fact that the artists that we sign put in the work as well, because it doesn't work any other way.
Yeah, and I think somewhere along the lines, we forgot that, like, classic A&R, right? What does that even mean? Okay, and that's what we brought back. When Guns N' Roses first came out and they had that huge MTV moment with Welcome to the Jungle, everyone was like, holy shit, look at Axl, what a star, what a song, look at that performance, look at that. Like, everything was so in sync. And somewhere along the lines, we forgot, or maybe people just don't know, that they were under development for 2 years under Geffen before that moment happened. And what happens these days is, like, artists, unfortunately, are just given an advance, which, let's just call it what it is, a high interest loan, which no one in any other industry would do to you, but that's okay. And it's like, all right, let's see what you got. And it's like, that's not how that works. There's so much that goes into it. Like, and you have to create custom tailored resources for that said artist. Like, okay, do you like what all artists need to be multifaceted these days. You can't just have a good voice and hope for the best. Like, that's just not how it works anymore, because there's so much competition and the barrier to entry is so low. But it's like, okay, like, do you need production help? Do you need songwriting help? Okay, your stage presence is really good, but let's get into styling. Okay, great. Like, how is this all coming together? Where's the creative vision? Like, where, like, is the song where it needs to be? What direction are we taking everything in sonically? There's so many different aspects. And people kind of look at us like, the business model is one thing, And I'm very proud of it because we've proven it. No one's investing in us just because we're like, oh, Shanika could share. You have good hair, which we do. But like,
It's true. I can see it on the camera, so I can testify.
but they're looking at us and they're going like, wait a minute, this the financial side of it makes sense. And we're like, we know. You know, and I got the same thing when I started Veeps, where like literally there were people telling me in the early stages before we got rolling, they're like, well, if this model worked, someone would have done it already. And I was just like, no. We didn't discover King Tut's treasure. We've just executed it. So I heard, and I literally heard the same thing from someone when I was starting this new company, VerseWire. And they're like, oh, well, if this works, someone would have done it already. And I'm like, all right, so I'm onto something. Got it. Thank you. But it's like we're bringing back the model is one thing, but the fact that these artists are growing the way that they are, and the fact that they're supported and like have the tools they need to succeed, that's something that isn't it's not new, but it's forgotten.
How did the connections with Hoppus and Pete Wentz come about? Were they kind of people you'd known for a number of years when they came on board?
I've known both of them for a long time. I mean, they're literally the most talented, like humble, kindest rock stars you'll ever meet. Like it actually blew my mind. I've known Pete a little bit longer. I met him actually when I was like before I started Veeps, just like as friends, and I told him about Veeps, but like right away, like Benj and Joel Madden, like we just went ahead and got started, and they were all friends, so like it was all great. And Mark, I just met at a studio and we just stayed really good friends. So when I approached them, but I approached them separately and they're friends as well. So like, it's all in the family. I was like, yeah, I'm starting this whole thing. Like, this is the idea. And I thought both of them separately would be like, all right, yeah, cool kid. Like, let us know how it goes. And both of them, they were like, we're in. Because this is, needless to say, they've had 20, 30 year long careers. And the fact that so Mark's an A&R in the company. And what I wanted to do with VerseWire is like, I didn't want to, give you an A&R that was going to tell you to turn up a hi-hat on a demo. I didn't want to give you an A&R that had no experience doing what the said artist was doing and yet trying to guide your career. Who better than to tell you, like, give you feedback on a song or like ideate a music video with you or any type of anything related to the actual like sonical aspects than someone that's been doing this for 30 years and has sold 50 million records. And so, and it's been integral. And then Pete is highly on the company strategy side. I mean, Pete's responsible for so much, so many artists' careers and also like his own career. And so he it just, it kind of just happened. And it's one of those things where I always wanted to work with both of them on something. And this, the stars aligned, if you will.
So when the idea kind of came together, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it was coming up to 2 years ago when you first like announced this whole venture, and it was just like
Almost 2 years ago. Yeah.
almost 2 years, sorry.
It was
Okay,
May. Yeah,
May.
almost.
Okay. So you announced that Mark and Pete are involved, and I think you already had Beauty School Dropout as kind of like the first artist at that point. Again, correct me if I'm wrong, but
Correct.
did they kind of, how soon did they come on your radar? Did you have the idea already and you were out looking for artists, or were you aware of them and then?
I'm gonna give all this credit to Nick.
I had started working with them not too long ago, and we were looking for a home. We built a good fan base, me and my partner Alex. And when I knew what these kids could do on their own, their ability to make their own merch, write, produce, mix, master, get out there, hustle, and do all that, the everything that they encompassed literally aligned with everything that VerseWire was looking for in a first artist and in all artists. And I knew these kids were superstars. I knew they had global potential. I believe this in my heart of hearts, and figured if there was anybody who could get behind these kids and really build and take them to that level, but doing it in a foundation, right? Like the three little pigs, there's the three houses. I think everybody wants to blow and it goes away, and then this one blows. But then you have the one that's built on the foundation, and that's the one that lasts. And that's what we were doing with these kids, and that's what we were trying to do with VerseWire. So it was just such a natural fit. And when I brought them originally to Mark, Sherry, and Pete, they weren't necessarily jumping on board as fast as I hoped. So I orchestrated a meeting, oddly enough, at another client concert, and I put Sherry and the boys at a table, and then I went around to do my rounds because I knew I didn't need to be there. There was nothing that I needed to say that I hadn't already said. I just felt like they needed to spend some time together, and she could see just from the kind of people they were how this was going to be beneficial to all parties, and the rest is history.
Oh,
Yeah, I
okay.
literally I went to Nick and I was just like, why don't you tell me about these boys? He's like, are you kidding me? And I literally on the drive home, I listened to the music and I was just like, I want to sign them. So it's because we were getting inundated with all these with a lot of people that were like, oh, check us out, check us out. And Nick was like, check these guys out. I was like, yeah. And I give all credit to him for that. So
Okay, yeah. No, I can imagine like how many people were put in front of you at that time, and I'm sure still are. That, I kind of want to ask you a little bit more about that a bit later on. But actually, I was just curious. So obviously, Nick, you mentioned you were working with Matchbox 20, and like you both said, like you kind of did the management thing quite a lot. Like, who are some of the other artists that you guys have worked with over the years in your path to arriving here at Versewire?
I mean, George Michael, Matchbox, Rob, Ryan Cabrera, City Wolf, Beauty School Dropout, a handful of producers, Ron Nevison, who did We Built the City in Rock and Roll and Led Zeppelin, Rick Parasher, who passed away, who did Pearl Jam and Blind Melon. I mean, it's been a slew of artists, and then a handful
Yeah.
of, and oddly enough, a handful of young artists that I really believed in their talent, but they helped me understand Beauty School Dropout, because when I saw how hard those kids worked and how much they wanted it, or I'm working with an incredible young artist named Coey Red. Coey wanted to go to Nashville and pursue her career, so she took her car and sold it and flew a one-way ticket and didn't leave until she had the situation going for herself. And when you see artists put in this energy and effort, and then you put it against artists that have a lot of talent, but you see the work ethic that they do have, you
Yeah.
realize that there's something special in this group of people. And when you look at how hard Matchbox and those guys all work, even at this day, and you look how hard Cabrera still works, even 20 years later, you start to realize that perseverance and longevity comes in hard work. And if artists are willing to do the hard work, it's a lot easier for Sherry and I to do the hard work, because you never want to work harder than the artist, you know? But at the same time, you want to make sure that you're not only a compliment, but an asset to the work that they're doing.
Along the line, somewhere like, talent can only take you so far. And
Yeah.
I mean, look, like we fucking hustle. Like, especially like this isn't in like back in the 90s or even before that, where there was like a funnel effect of how many artists even could make a record. Anyone right now could literally go on their computer, upload, just I could like literally scream into the mic and upload that on the DSP, and it would go up. And it's just like you really ha and like you have to be multifaceted in this day and age. Like, I want to see what your producing capability is. I want to see what your songwriting capability is. I want to see where your creative brain is at. I want to see, like, of course we help with all this stuff like substantially, but it's also like now artists are required to pretty much create content. And that's a big thing that they haven't been responsible for really ever. But like the dawn of like, Instagram Reels and TikTok has really taken
Of
this out of the
course.
earth. So it's like it's not just about like making a great song, which is the core of everything. This is the music industry. If the song is great, everyone's job is easier. If the song is not so great, then my job is hard. And then Nick's job is hard. But it's now you gotta market it correctly. And it's not just about like how much money you put into it. It's about how smart you can be on socials, really.
You said at the top of this about the sort of new publishing wing that's kind of been comparatively recently announced. Do you guys want to just tell me a little bit more about that and how you're feeling about that?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, the publishing arm was something that we created in two ways. One, it was because we wanted to help more artists, and two, out of spite. Because, and I'll tell you why. Because when we were like setting up sessions for various artists and stuff like that, we're really into the initial songwriting process, because again, that is where it all starts. Like, you have to help the artist get the best possible song for the direction they're taking their sound in, right? And so we were the
Yep.
ones that, and Nick and I have a ton of relationships with producers and songwriters, never mind like Mark and Pete, right? And we were like ideating. We're like, okay, let's try this producer, let's try this songwriter, let's do this camp. And you have to date a bunch of people in order to figure out like, okay, this is the direction we want to go into.
Yeah.
It's just like, wait a minute, where's the pub company and all this? That's their job, and we were doing it, and then all we did was reach out for a first use license, and that was it. And I was like, wait a minute, like, okay, well, if I'm doing that job anyway, And like, why don't I just open up my own pub arm and just make sure that the artists are taken care of? And also, like, we were getting, I mean, we still are, we are getting hit up by like so many artists in all levels. Like, we're talking like artists that, for example, are just emerging and artists that are stadium act names, which we'll get to in a second. And
Okay.
they wanted to work with us. And while taking on like, the quote unquote label side of their career, that is a lot because we work and we get into it. Nick and I are we're present. We're at every single shoot, we're at every single like meeting, anything related to that. And so I was like, hold on, this will allow us to take care of more artists without necessarily, the brunt of their career. And what, again, what's more important than being in there with them with the actual song creation of it? So this was our way of helping more artists without, the extreme heavy lift of taking it all the way from like marketing and touring and da 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 da. So it was twofold. And Cobalt, who, needless to say, is probably the best publishing company in the entire world, and the arms they have globally is just it's unparalleled. And the CEO, shout out to Laurent, thank you so much for believing in this. We hopped on a call and like known him for a hot minute. And I learned a long time ago, people don't care what you're doing, they care why you're doing it. And the why is why people want to get involved with what we're doing, because not only is it working, but it's a powerful move in the right direction of this industry, and people want to be on the right side of history. So we partner together, and we have nothing but the most incredible things to say about that team. Like, there's a reason why they're on the top, but it's the perfect combination for our clients on the pub arm, because you get the tight-knit team that is VerseWire with the global firepower of Cobalt. So you can't beat it.
And obviously another recent collaboration is Girlfriends working with you. I know I think Nick, you mentioned them before. You guys, is Travis and Nick's the other guy, isn't it? If I'm not mistaken. Have you known those guys a while? How did that relationship come about?
Trav and I actually met not that long before we signed them, to be honest with
All
you.
right,
We
okay.
no, because like we literally got Travis wanted Beauty School Dropout on a show because he has an Apple Music show. And it, like I said, Nick and I are always present. We go to everything, and this is the advantage. Like, you have to be there. You can't just like sit in your house like behind a computer. Like, sure, yeah, you can answer emails and take calls. You have to be there. You have to travel. You have to meet people. And we got there, and Travis is a gem of a human, so we stayed in touch, and like we just started. I just, he had a band, and I was really excited about it, called Girlfriends with Nick Gross. And I was obsessed with his music, and I kind of made a joke. I was just like, dude, I want to sign. You should let me sign you. And that joke became a reality very quickly, because I was really passionate about what they were doing, and there's, those two guys are probably as hardworking as it gets. And again, they checked all of our boxes. They're multifaceted. They write, they produce, they do all these different things, and they had the hustle in them. And the music sonically was aligned with like the pop rock, like overall genre that we're currently in. And so it made all the sense in the world.
Well, and the fun thing is, the first time I met Travis, we were partners on a bowling tournament, and I was it was the best game I've ever bowled in my life. I think I bowled five strikes in a row, which I've never done. And the two of us just bonded over that situation and that game, and just had a lot of fun that night. And I got to see his passion for life. And then as Sherry and I got in, I saw how that was able to translate into his passion for music. And the beauty was there were so many things that he had going on that fed into the music that allowed for us to do what we want to do, but it also showed his work ethic, which again goes back to sort of one of the core values we look for in anybody that we sign. And then Nick as well, having everything, he has 10 companies behind him, and just watching how his brain works and watching how he's able to juggle everything successfully and give all this energy and attention to each one of these projects without letting one of them fall through. I was like, wow, this kid's pretty incredible. And then to put them together and watch them put that into this project where Sherry and I are doubling down, it was a great match.
I appreciate if you can't say, but are we going to get a third full length from them potentially soon? Because I think they did two full
From
lengths with Big
Girlfriends?
Noise. Yeah, because I know they had that song out not long ago.
Oh, 100%. Stay tuned, my friend. We have some exciting stuff coming up, but
Okay.
yeah, I mean, they're both artists are deep in like writing and production and all that stuff for some very exciting stuff coming up. So
You kind of alluded before to, doing stuff with that with artists of all levels, like whether it's stadium or first starting out. I'm just curious, like, because I mean, that's kind of something that you've publicly said, like, we want to help in whatever way it may be, like work with artists at any stage of their career. If you've got a new artist, what's kind of like the smallest level they could be at, and you guys would still be interested in working with them?
I mean, I think honestly, it's not, that's not how we look at it. If we find an artist, you have to sit with them and look in their eyes, understand their beliefs, see them live, see the passion they have. You can be an artist with 300 followers, but if you have this incredible passion and you have this whole outlook on it and you have this vision and you have this work ethic, that really sometimes trumps someone with 2 million monthly listeners who fell in on a single on a sync and is like, I have a plan, I'm gonna go viral. Like when I looked at New School Dropout, for instance, in the beginning, they had like 2,800 followers on Instagram, but 175 kids at their live show. And from a percentage standpoint, that's incredible. And you see something was there. You can feel it when you know something is there. You can feel how hard these people all want to work. But I think, where Sherry will take this conversation, as she should, is it also always starts with the music, right? Like if you have 500 monthly listeners, that's exposure. That's not necessarily the music. Now, sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. And I made a funny joke when we just did the South by Southwest about the boy band that I was in that you never heard because 25% of all music never gets played once. But if you really look at the songs, at the voice, at the songwriting, the way that it was done back in the days before you had, metrics the way that you do, and you don't allow those metrics to sway you away from where your heart is and from what you're really looking at, I think it doesn't matter. We're not trying to sign development acts right now because it doesn't fit the model of what we're building at the moment. But that's not to say that we have some sort of prerequisite as to why we pick XYZ artist over another one.
Yeah, and to Nick's point, there's so many aspects. If you purely look at music and only look at the data, look, it's so great that we have data now. Once upon a time, that wasn't available to us, and we just had to just like assume and wait months before we got like charts and stuff like that. And now we have that at our disposal. But what's happened is people have become laser focused on like, okay, only this many plays and this many listeners. But it's like there's so many other aspects of that. To Nick's point, if you have 2,000 followers, but 200 people are lining up to go see you on a Tuesday, something's happening. But what we've done is, in order for us to prove our model, we had to start with an emerging artist. Because, for example, if we signed like Blink-182, right, and it did well, everyone would attribute that success to Blink and not us, rightfully so. And so we had to start with emerging artists to prove that this model works and that, the trajectory of the artist with this with the team that we've built and the A&Ring that we're doing actually moves the needle. And so what's happened, and I knew this would happen, is a ton of like stadium-sized artists started to hit us up and go like, wait a minute, if you can do that with a no name, what can you do with us? Number one. And number two, all of these artists have been through all the different label offerings, if you will. Okay. It's the same thing, copy and paste, and it hasn't, and it's just not working anymore. And it hasn't been working for a long time. Because when major artists like Taylor Swift re-records her masters to re-own it, and fans for the first time are now privy to the fact that artists don't own their work, that's a shift in the right direction. When huge artists like John Mayer, Halsey, Kanye leave their labels and don't re-sign, that is a major shift into saying, hey, the timing is right and it's right now. And so what we've done is we've opened the floodgates and we can't wait to tell you who we're about to sign, but these are massive artists that, want like are seeing what we're doing. They want to do things differently as well because it's working and because there isn't a single thing that you could call out in our model where like it makes sense and it always should have been this way. It's favorable for really all sides, but it's like we haven't, what I tell people is like, the business model of it, we haven't discovered King Tut's treasure. Like this isn't something that's just like, whoa, like it's just what how every other industry in the world functions, and we've applied it to the music industry. Like literally, like for example, my company VerseWire, if I want investment, okay, I give equity and I receive investment, and like I don't have an 85% interest rate on said investment, but we do that to artists. And how would my company survive? And then we wonder like why artists are having such a hard time, like with the trajectory of their careers and making it financially and also making it with like with the team and resources or limited resources around them. And it's like, well, fucking duh. And yeah, like, you know, we're about to sign a few very big household names. And again, we can't wait to share it with you, but the model needs to change, and we're honored to lead the right side of history.
You know, with that in mind, the fact that, you know, it hasn't been right for some time, as you say, if you could kind of take this model that you're doing now and take it back in time and find like some of those artists, like I'm thinking more like from the Warped Tour scene, because that's more like the kind of stuff we cover on this show, but it doesn't have to be that genre. But are there any examples of anyone who were kind of victims of the old model and didn't make it to the level that they should? And if you could go back and do this model for them.
I don't think it's victims of the old model.
Okay.
What I think is they are not getting the attention they deserve now because in their current situation, they may have aged out of what is current and what is making money. So I don't want to call them any of them victims because I don't think there are. I still think some of these people have champions and they're still some. What I think is that they're the level of importance they became to their current situation declined. And as such, they weren't getting put in the situations that they needed to compete at this point in time. That's where we come in. We're not saying, you know, fuck these guys, this is horrible. We're saying, hey, let us do for you what they're doing for Cardi B or Jack Harlow or, you know, any of these other guys that are getting all this energy and attention. And let's start with getting you in the studio. There's 10 million awesome people that you may have never worked with because you've made the same record with the same guy, good, bad, or indifferent, you know? But how about we open up some new relationships for you? Have you ever been to Spotify? Have you ever been to Apple? Have you had a conversation with TikTok? Do you know how this works? Do you know that you don't have to just make a dance? Do you know that there's other ways to maneuver? What's your relationship with YouTube? Like, how are you guys looking at all of these symbiotic relationships? Do you have a contact person there? I find it very important, and this is the manager side of me, if anybody who's touching your money, you should have a direct relationship with them. You know? So I think there's been a wall of gatekeeping that has happened in the past, which is dissipating with obviously, you know, digital. But at the same time, you can't, as a PM or as a label who has to offer all these other stuff, when you have 500 artists, the ones that are big, you know, big at the moment, they're the ones that are floating to the top and they're getting the attention. And there's only so many hours in a day. So unfortunately, someone has to be a sacrificial lamb. And most of the time, it's artists that have had a career already who the label or the partner can be like, oh, well, you know, they're fine. They'll just make a record and they're tour and, you know, like, let's go focus on this guy because he's got 10 billion streams right now and we really need to capitalize. That's what I think is more so than they fell a victim of something or not, you know?
Okay.
Especially because I don't want to get deep into whatever contractual situations that they have. It's much
Yeah.
more about how they are continuing to maintain a career and come out with that fourth record and that fifth record and that sixth record. And if you look at, you know, what Thriller was to Off the Wall, you know, I mean, it's making sure that you're getting all that energy for that next record because there's a lot of artists in the past who it was their third record that catapulted them. And if they never got all of that time, that A&R, that energy to get to that third record, they wouldn't now be, you know, a global household name. And that's what we're looking at.
What music did you both grow up on?
90s hip hop.
Nice short answer.
Pop rock. I'm sure you can tell with everything about me. That's still,
Yeah.
I mean, that's still my genre. I still love it. You know, but I mean, look, I was also a huge fan of like Backstreet and NSYNC and Britney, like definitely pop too, but you know. My
Okay, yeah.
just to make it fun, my other like loves were Jamiroquai. I was a giant Jamiroquai fan. JK, the man.
Really?
As well as Bob Marley. But it would those things would be sort of around my 90s hip hop love.
Yeah, David Bowie, obsessed. I mean, obviously Nirvana, but that fits into the pop rock type. Alt rock, whatever. Rock.
In the 80s, it was definitely like, you know, Motley Crue,
Yes.
Metallica, you know, that kind of hairband rock. I went from hairband rock to hip hop, and I sprinkled in soul and reggae.
Just the fact you mentioned Jamiroquai made me think of this. But like, have you guys had much experience with the UK? Have you been over this way much
We
as your
lived there
work
for
taking you
many
here?
times.
Many times. I thought that'd be the case.
I love it. I mean, I love it there. I'm there at least once a year, but yeah, it's, I mean, huge shout out to our friends over there, Dan Carter, Jack Saunders. They've been huge supporters of everything that we've done. So thank you guys over at BBC. Yeah, it's, I'm very overdue for some high tea. So I'll see you there soon.
Well, my cousin, my first cousin and one of my best friends also lives in the UK with his family. So there's always time to go out and visit them, him as well. So I
Nice.
have to.
Whereabouts are they based?
He just moved. He works for Universal, so he's somewhere in kind of that world. But they just moved not too long ago, so I'm not quite sure. I haven't been to the new place yet.
What artists are on your record? I mean, this isn't just in terms of verse wire, but what are you like? Who current are you guys listening to at the minute?
All right, let me pull up my Spotify
Yeah,
history.
do it.
I'm honestly, outside of informational podcasts, as I'm a student of the music industry and always want to learn. Most of the time I spend listening to music or listening to demos, listening to my artist's
Same.
new music, listening to, what the artists on my management side are working on, listening to, songs from publishers we're looking for. It occupies a lot of my time. On
Got
top
it.
of that, I have two children, so
Right.
I hear a lot of what's current, Drake, Future, Taylor Swift. My daughter's, last night I had to take my daughter to the airport. She went to Costa Rica for spring break, and just listening to the eclectic playlist that they were putting on, whether it was Drake into G-Eazy, into Taylor Swift, into Ariana Grande, back to Taylor Swift, back to Drake. I have a lot of that on because I'm trying to be a good father and listen. But
Yeah.
outside of that, really, I'm trying to listen more to podcasts and more to how to take information from the world outside of music and how to make that applicable to the way in which we approach marketing and distributing our own artists.
Yeah, no, I mean, I try to spend as much time as I can, obviously, like listening to demos, listening to new music for just different artists and stuff. But I'm gonna be brutally honest with you. Here's what I've been listening to. I've been listening to
Go on, fire away.
a lot of Ed Sheeran, Jonas Blue, Ansel Elgort. I actually really like his music. Not many people know that he actually does music. Kygo, Taylor Swift, Shawn Mendes, Nirvana, Harry Styles. I'm being very honest with you guys. The
I'm
1975.
not gonna lie, I really like Harry Styles. I went to see him three
I
times
love Harry
with my
Styles.
kids because I took one kid and then another kid, then both kids, and his manager and I grew up together. But I gotta
Right.
say, I really like Harry Styles. I do.
I
Guilty.
don't get it, guys. I don't get it. I have many
Get it.
friends that like it, like you love him. No, I'm missing something. I don't know
You
what it
know
is.
what?
It's
Well,
the
you gotta
style.
see him live. Like he
Okay.
is an incredible, his stage presence, his performance, you're like, okay, of course, as in those One Direction days, as like a young woman, I was like, woo, but like now I'm like, I respect his artistry,
Yeah.
So
Okay.
yeah, go see him live, and then we'll hop back on and we'll talk.
Okay. We'll see if I'm swayed by that. How often are you guys having to see live music with the work that you do? Is it like several times a week? What I assume like
All
you're going
the
to many
time.
shows a year all
Well,
the
because
time.
it's not just our clients, it's our friends' clients. And I always want to support like up and coming artists. I have a ton of friends that are artists at various stages in their career. I want to go support them.
Yeah.
It's just like all my most of my friends, 90% of my friends are in the music industry, whether on the business side or like on stage. So it's not just our clients, but it's also supporting our loved ones and our friends. So I'm at a show pretty often, but hard life, huh?
Well,
Yeah.
I think it's different for like my girlfriend and I go see jazz a lot. Like
Okay.
I love live jazz. It makes me really happy. In fact, I used to go weekly. But I think the one interesting thing that my father taught me that I've always loved about the music industry is these live shows are the hang. This is where you get to catch up with your friends. This is sort of, it's sort
Sure.
of our, it's our basketball court, right? Like
Yeah.
if you want to go on a Saturday to, let's play some ball and catch up. Friday night, let's play it. Like this is our field. This is our playing
Yes.
field. And so not
Yes.
only are we necessarily going to watch bands, like at South by, I went with my girlfriend and one of our business partners out of the UK from Propeller. to watch a couple bands, but with all due respect, no offense to the bands, they were kind of secondary. The real thing was to hang and looking at each other and saying like what they liked about it and what they didn't, and understanding your brain, and then having fun, and then that kind of sidetracked to another conversation, and then you know, then you had a drink over here, and it becomes such a fun place to be that I don't know if I always go to watch the music or I go just for the hang.
When you're immersed in that world like you guys are, completely get that. Guys, I've just got like a couple more questions and I think we can probably wrap this up because I'm conscious I've taken a fair bit of your time on what is... Are you both West Coast based, by the way?
Yeah.
So
it's morning.
Monday morning in your case, because it's approaching the end of the working day over here.
Don't even worry about it. Thank you so much for having us again.
No, of course.
We can do this all day.
We really appreciate you giving us some time. Here's a funny one. And like, you know, don't take this question too seriously. I mean it in a lighthearted way. But I'm going to fire five random guests we've had on the show before. And if you could like work with one of them at first wire, who would be the best contender for you? I mean, okay. Like, this is hypothetical, and it's just, you know, based on their music, you know, because I don't know if you know any of them personally, which might be weird, but okay. And they're a bit across the board. They're quite random. So I'm going to give you the Menzingers, Frank Turner, Sum 41, Love Breakers, or the Main.
I mean, I have spent a lot of time with Derek. Interestingly enough, in fact, my first meeting with Cabrera when we started to work together, Derek was there actually at the meeting.
Really?
And then I do a sushi dinner every night. I mean, sorry, every Christmas Eve, and twice I've been in a restaurant where Derek and his girlfriend were there. So I have that, but the last one you said was the Main.
It was.
Yeah, I'm a fan. So
I'm the Main because they're friends.
I'm a Main there.
Okay, yeah.
Shout out John. Shout out Tim.
Yeah, it was John we had on the show. Like, yeah, super cool guy. And I feel like they're a band who would fit into what you were talking about earlier. Just their work ethic and what they've built is incredible. Because like, you know, full disclosure, when I first heard of them, I didn't think their music was that amazing or whatever. But they've just built like a community around them and grown into this incredible kind of vehicle, really.
Yeah, and they're the nicest guys ever. Yeah, I actually just saw them because they opened for Fall Out Boy on the Stardust tour. Yeah. And so funny enough, yeah, I just saw them a couple weeks ago. But they're friends. So.
Two more questions. So first one's just a basic question. Is there anything, plans for 2024 that we haven't discussed in this chat that you can talk, that you're allowed to talk about now? There may not be any.
World domination. That's the plan. No, honestly, we're about to sign like three more acts. Continuing to you know, raise eyebrows and continuing to show people that it can be done differently and it can be done right. Because I'm honored to say that I've made a living helping artists. Nick and I, we've never been on the bad side of any deal. And everything that I have is because we've helped people. And I go to sleep every night with like just a calm heart and like a good conscience because of that. More partnerships, and just reminding artists that they chose this career because it can be fun and it can be lighthearted. And we want to continue to just spread that, the positivity, about doing what we're doing. Because, you know, we all got into it because we love music. So I want everyone to remember that.
Final question. If you guys could only take a couple of records to a desert island with you, what are they going to be? What are some contenders for that?
Ooh, hold on. I want to make sure I give you the right name.
Nirvana Nevermind.
I would say...
Blink self-titled.
Synchronized. Jamiroquai.
Jamiroquai again?
Nice. Yep. I would go with the double disc Tupac record. All Eyes on Me. I will go with
Backstreet Boys Millennium. Those are my three.
Nice. It covers all the music you basically grew up on as well. I like
Yeah.
I would think the first Nas record, it was written. That might be one that I'd have to have in there all the time. Nice. And then a Bob Marley Preferably, a greatest hits record would be perfect.
Oh, you're right. All right. Well, I'll steal that record from you, Nick. Okay.
But
That'll be great.
yeah, there's a nice mix across the board there. That's cool. Yeah, guys, I think we can probably leave it there. Thanks again so much for giving me some of your Monday morning. I've kind of been watching what you've been doing for a while, so it's good to get like a kind of insight into it. So yeah, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us. I
And
really
of
appreciate
course.
it.
Of course, you're most welcome.
Let's keep the relationship fruitful, and then if you need us for anything, you know how to get a hold of us.
That's amazing. Really appreciate that, Nick.
Hi, Chris. Be good, man.
Hey, Chris.